for Monday, April 25th, 2011. It's the Palaver Audiocast with Lost in Bronx. Episode 9, Thinner Than Your Dreams. Hello, this is Lost in Bronx. The other day, my friends Deep Geek Klaatu and I were chatting via email, and the topic of families and family relationships came up. Now, those are things that I have some strong views upon, as I suspect most people do, and I thought I'd inflict mine upon you, my gentle listeners. If this episode interests you at all, or if it bothers you, or if it just leaves you indifferent and gassy, then you have those fine gentlemen to thank as well. Firstly, though, I need to cover the terminology. When I say family, I mean Mrs. Bronx, Little Bronx, and myself. But when I say family, with that special emphasis, I'm referring to the true topic of the show, namely, all the other relations in our lives. Now then, a hypothetical outside observer would likely see my family situation as being disjointed or even estranged, and in dire need of improvement, and they wouldn't be wrong, except for that last part. There's a line from that Broadway show Rent, old Broadway show now, I guess, a line that refers to, quote, life in an isolating age, unquote. It struck a chord with me because I believe that the latter half of the 20th century wherein I was born and raised and the current century are well described by that lyric. I may have quoted that show once before, I don't know, but indulge me here a bit. Now, we live in a time that's better connected than any in human history, a time when little communities can be tailor-suited to an individual and can consist of people from all over the world. Language barriers still abound, but who knows? Maybe accurate, real-time translation applications or services are just around the corner. But my point is stolen from another trite song. It's a small world, after all. The boundless elements of our current society make the traditional bindings of family more tenuous. Now, that's not true in every case, but it's an aspect of modern life that has to be recognized. This may well just be an American problem, but A, I doubt we're the only ones so afflicted, and B, I don't actually see it as an affliction at all. Evolution comes at a price. That's true for societies as well as species. I don't know where we're going, but I can tell you we're definitely on our way. Does it mean the end of the nuclear family as we have traditionally known it? Well, as we've known it, I have no idea. But at all? No, I don't think so. Remember, that's family, not family. And it's not the fault of technology at any course. Divorce rates, growing equality and financial opportunities between the sexes, and general social trends in Western societies have all made huge changes to our family traditions. But we're still human, and we still want all those connections. The digital age has allowed many people in industrialized societies to reach out to like minds. In a lot of cases, those long-distance connections are being plugged right into the holes our eroding family values are becoming riddled with. I don't see a problem with that. A tailored life. It's what we all want. Clothes, cars, media, software, friends, and families. To a T, if we can manage it, but certainly better than random chance or scarcity or poverty would otherwise dictate. I mean, outside of marriage or civil ceremonies or adoption, you have no choice in your relations. You do, however, have a choice in your relationships with your relations. But your family only defines these things if you so choose, and if you so choose, you can break with them. It's my fervent belief that people will always have issues with you living your dreams, or even just living at all sometimes. Someone will always be hurt or believe themselves to be by that act of will. And I'm not talking about crazy bigots or murderers or anything so dramatic or ugly, real though those things are. No, I'm talking about people being slighted or damaged or disadvantaged by you living on your own terms. Just having a place of your own, wherever that may be, going through your days differently than maybe other people think you should. People who care about you, maybe. Or maybe people who care about you best when your values appear to be like theirs. Many family members will criticize you, either openly or otherwise, for the choices you make, for the dreams you value or reach for, and certainly and most vociferously for the mistakes you make in attempting to do so. The concern here is, does it all stick? Are their issues with you also your issues with you? No one's perfect. People screw up. Sometimes, all the time. So, are they right? Should you live like them after all? Maybe. Likely not, but maybe. But they don't get a say in that. Your life. Your path. Who doesn't have regrets? Show me that person, and if they're actually sane, I'll shake their hand. To live is to choose. Choose to conform, choose to rebel, choose to ignore. Some choices are unfortunate. That is to say, fortune does not favor them. Some are worthy, but poorly executed. Others, doomed from the start. Most are tenuous, or fantastic to the point of impossibility. You're in there somewhere, somewhere in that melange of choices that we call getting a life. And the cost of being you, of living on your own terms, shouldn't be your dreams. The petty bickering, the silent judgments, the vile I told you so's, they will stick to you if you let them. They will mold your dreams for you, and so pervert them. I say pervert, but maybe I mean purloin. They will steal them and spirit them away. Those are the losses to fear. As Mrs. Bronx is wont to say, I'd rather regret the things I've done rather than the things I didn't do. What do you owe your family? Everything? Nothing? Everything and nothing? When you dodge the phone because you owe somebody with a perceived claim on you some attention, then you're certainly seeing them as being more trouble than they're worth in that context. Sure, you might love them, but love and resentment are not at all incompatible. Love and tyranny are not. Even love and hate are not. On the other hand, love and obligation go hand in hand. Though there are many ways to express it, when you love someone or something, you are obliged to do for them. Our mistake is equating family with a kind of selfless, obligation-free love. We oftentimes feel obliged to do for family, regardless of how we really feel about them, or how the doing impacts our own priorities and dreams. I mean, what's a phone call? Nothing? Close to? What are years of them? What do years of offhand, judgmental certainty by someone who feels they have the right to say their piece about your life, what does that add up to? A complex parting, almost certainly. I mean, we'll all part in the end, and we'll often part before the end. But when you love and resent at the same time, a person's absence, just like their presence in your life, will be made of mixed stuff. Your memories of them will bear little comfort. Better to leave it all behind, I say. The people and their dramas. That's right. I'm advocating that blood, while thicker than water, is thinner than your dreams. Family can be a drain and an impediment. When they're not such, if they're not such, then you may not even be able to comprehend what I've said here. Well, that's okay, because some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you endure this daily, as I do. The benefits of having a happy extended family can't really be overstated. However, I believe that it is a rare and magical animal indeed, a unicorn in real life, but not my life, and not many people's. And if we are the sum of our parts, of our fortunes and choices, then no one can ever say with certainty that they are truly free, no matter how they live. But I'll take a complicated past over a complicated present or future. I'll take the long-distance angry words or pained silences of those I did not choose to share my time on this earth with. I'll take it over spending time with them. Yes, I am supremely selfish, for I have chosen to hold myself blameless for disappointing the expectations of others, expectations I never once asked for or encouraged. I'm not the man they thought I'd be, not the man they were hoping for or expecting. Am I cold and distant? Maybe. Probably. I won't argue. I won't wonder why they feel that way or rail at the injustice of it. I won't accuse them of past wrongs or failings within themselves they refuse to acknowledge. I won't do any of that, because that's what they want. They want me to fight, because if I do, they have my attention. My life, my choices, my emotional well, and for them, for family, baby, it runneth dry.
White butterfly had a leap with blue flowers, still as passing clouds.
Okay, now then, let's see. My latest audio fiction project, Driving with Eddie, is done. I'm almost ready to release it. That will come out on May the 1st, 2011. Not sure what day that falls on. I think it's a Sunday. I put a promo together, and that's available on my site. The address I'll have at the end of the show. Now, Driving with Eddie is not safe for work, so don't get your hopes up that you're going to play it for everybody in the office, because it is filled with very crude humor and a lot of profanity. I'm not going to apologize for it. That's the kind of humor I sometimes enjoy. I gotta tell you, I was laughing my head off as I wrote it and as I recorded it, but it's very likely not going to tickle a lot of people's fancy. It's just how I am. I don't know. It is based on the types of friendships I had when I was a kid. Friends of the family and friends I made when I was older. I mean, these are people I grew up with. And when you listen to it, I mean, they're exaggerated, but man, these are real people. I know them. They're crude, maybe. They can be insulting to each other on the surface of it. But when you need them, when you really do need them, they're there. And I was hoping that that's the sort of thing that comes across in Driving with Eddie. So, I don't know. It'll be a matter of taste and opinion. And I don't count on anybody but myself liking it. Let's see. In other news, I uploaded a whole bunch of audio files to my site. And I put them in a file under the miscellaneous, miscellaneous content or miscellaneous stuff file. You'll find that on the homepage. And you go there and it ends up being a folder called LNB's Audio Diary. And this is a general collection of just my thoughts off the top of the head. Most of them I record in the morning when we're just about to leave, you know, to start our day. And it's just some random thoughts I have. So if you have any interest, you can go ahead and look at that. That's only in Speaks format. So if you hate Speaks, can't play Speaks or whatever, then you're out of luck. I mean, who the hell cares, right? So it's there. If you really got to hear it and Speaks ain't for you, contact me and I'll send you something that you can listen to. No, I got rid of all the WAV files. No, it's just Speaks right now. Anyway, that's there. It's not in any particular order. And I started putting real dates on there to make it a little bit easier to understand. But you know what? It's a lot of work. And I don't think a lot of people are going to care. So, you know, I always state the date at the beginning of the file. And there's no continuity required. So who cares? Okay. I recorded an HPR episode, Hacker Public Radio episode this past week. It's episode 3 of my series that I have going on called Theater of the Imagination. And it focuses on, specifically on my take on the various aspects of audio drama as I explore it myself and my opinions about the old stuff. But I'm thinking of having either a special segment at the end of each episode on an old show that I think is great, and I'll mention a link on how to pick it up. Or maybe I'll have a special episode on shows that I really enjoyed, my favorites. But probably it'd be best if I kind of spread them out. I don't know. We'll see. But again, up till now, I haven't really brought too much of that up yet. In part one, I did. But you have to dig pretty far back in HPR history to find part one. If you look it up under my name, you'll find it. But otherwise, I don't know. Good luck. Next, Information Underground. That's a show I do. It's only in Speaks format. That I do that with Klaatu and DeepGeek. And we're on a bit of a hiatus there. We all have a lot of crap going on in our lives right now. I know Klaatu is very busy at work, and DeepGeek is very busy as well. And I've just been losing my mind most days trying to get everything done here at home. Even though I'm a stay-at-home dad, and honestly, the house doesn't look like I've done much lately. I just really have not had a ton of time to sit down and either put a script together for Information Underground or even, you know, I mean, the last time we tried to get together, I wasn't feeling, what the hell was the problem? No, I lost track of the time. We had just had the daylight savings on that, and I felt like an asshole. I mean, really, really stupid. I was very embarrassed. But, you know, I'm in Arizona, and we don't do daylight savings here, at least down where I am. You know, it catches me out every year, and it did this year. So Information Underground is pretty much on a bit of a hiatus, but it's not dead. We're fading, but we're not gone. So, okay, let's see. I've been a bit slow with my FLOG updates. Now, a FLOG is a Gopher blog. It's the blog that I put out on my Gopher site. And if you're listening to this, you probably already know that everything originates on a Gopher server, including my blog. And I've been a little bit slow. I put something, one or two out this month, but that's about it. That's, you know, and that's not great. Some people, you know, have postings every day or several times a day even, but I've been pretty slow. But I've been busy, too. I've been trying to wrap up Driving with Eddie, and I had that HPR thing that I did, and I'm doing this right now. So I have been a little bit busy, but I'll get back to it. It is something I want to do. Well, that's it for this one. Hope you liked it. I won't lose sleep if you didn't, but I do hope it wasn't torture. Then again, if it was, and you still listened, man, what the hell were you thinking? This has been Lost in Bronx. Take care. You You can contact me at lostinbronx@gmail.com. That's LOSTNBRONX at Gmail. You can check out my site at info-underground.net/LNB. Music for this episode is a piece called Electrolux Fantasies by Briarius or something. Available on ccmixter.org. Palaver is copyright 2011 by Lost in Bronx and is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike Unported 3.0 license.
Coiled on a doormat, a sleek millipede resting its feet and footsteps.